A History of HMS Stryker. Laid down December 15, 1941, by the Western Pipe and Steel Company, San Francisco, California, as Maritime Commission C3SA2 type freighter, hull number 198, Western Pipe and Steel hull number 78. The hull was purchased by the U.S. Navy to be the USS Prince William AVG-19. She was the fourth and last vessel built for completion as an auxiliary aircraft carrier by Western Pipe and Steel. All were transferred to the Royal Navy. The other three were Attacker, ex-USS Barnes, Stalker, ex-USS Hamlin, and Fencer, ex-USS Croatan. Whilst still under construction, it had been decided that AVG-19 was to be transferred to the Admiralty on loan under the Lend-Lease Agreement upon her completion. The name Prince William was withdrawn before her launch on May 7, 1942. Her USN designation changed to ACV-19 on August 20, 1942. On completion, the hull was towed to the Mare Island Naval Dockyard, Vallo, California, for fitting out as an escort aircraft carrier. It was to take another year before she was completed and ready for handing over to the Royal Navy. The commissioning crew for the new ship began to assemble in August 1942. Captain E.W. Anstice R.N. was appointed as her senior officer. The advance party of her crew sailed for New York the following month on board the troop ship HMTS Queen Elizabeth. They disembarked at New York on the east coast of the United States, and were accommodated at R.N. Camp Peekskill, New York State, while awaiting transport across the continent to San Francisco on the west coast. Captain F.M. Walton R.N. was also appointed to the ship on October 7, 1942, and was to be her commanding officer upon commissioning. Captain Anstice became CO of HMS Fencer. Transfer to R.N. and commissioning May 1943. On completion of defect rectification and final fitting out, ACV-19 was officially delivered to the U.S. Navy at Mare Island on April 28, 1943. During April, members of the crew received specialist training in the use of ASDIC equipment of the U.S. Navy Patrol Force Anti-Submarine Training Unit. ACV-19 was transferred to the United Kingdom under the Lend-Lease Agreement and delivered on May 18, 1943, while alongside Pier 26 in San Francisco. She commissioned into Royal Navy service as HMS Stryker, pennant number D-12, on that date. Captain F.M. Walton R.N. in command. Trials and maiden voyage May to June 1943. Sea trials began at 1540 on May 21 off San Francisco, and calibration and speed trials commenced at 1535 on the 25th. While alongside at Pier 26, she was stored in preparation for her maiden voyage. She left San Francisco for the last time on May 29 to conduct gunnery exercises off the coast, escorted by the USS PC-570, firing her main armament at a target towed by the fleet tug USS Bigaduce. The shoot, which included night firings, completed at 22:17, and Stryker set course for Balboa, the Pacific entrance to the Panama Canal. She arrived at Balboa on June 9 and transited the canal to Cristobal on the Atlantic side to await her escort to Norfolk Navy Yard. Stryker departed from Cristobal on June 14 to rendezvous with her escort, the USS Frankfurt, at 0843. During the day, the ship carried out an anti-aircraft gunnery shoot on passage, firing at drogue targets towed by U.S. Navy aircraft. Norfolk Naval Dockyard and ferry load to UK June to July 1943. Stryker arrived at Norfolk Navy Yard at 1900 on the 20th to undergo the installation of additional equipment before beginning a short workup. The work included installing radar and radio equipment, repairs to main feed suction pipe and hangers, two reducing valves, steering gear bushings, refrigerating units, FG transfer pump, auxiliary feed pump, UK and VF equipment, battle announcing equipment and general alarm circuit. Overhauled one train power drive for heavy anti-aircraft machine gun. Once this work was completed, Stryker called at the U.S. Naval Ammunition Depot, St. Julian's Creek, Virginia, on June 23 to embark small arms and gun ammunition, returning to Norfolk on completion of loading. Her dockyard work and workup complete Stryker left the Norfolk Navy Yard at 1945 on the 25th and the move to the Norfolk Naval Operating Base to embark more stores and a cargo of Lend-Lease airframes for ferrying to the UK. The ferry load comprised of 10 Curtiss Seamew, 10 Grumman Tupon, Avenger, 16 Grumman Martlet 5, Wildcat, 10 Grumman Hellcat, 8 Vought Corsair. She sailed for New York on the 27th to join the eastbound convoy HX-246 for passage to the UK. Arriving at New York on June 28, she joined her sister escort carrier Searcher, which was also waiting to join the convoy with a ferry load. Both carriers were taken in hand by Bethlehem Steel Company at 28th Street, Brooklyn for voyage repairs, which were completed the same day. The two carriers sailed from New York with convoy HX-246 on June 30. This was a large convoy consisting of 64 merchantmen and 19 escorts. After an uneventful crossing, Stryker and Searcher, escorted by Acanthus, Potentilla and Vervain, detached as fast section on July 11, arriving in Liverpool Bay on the 13th. RN Dockyard Chatham. Modification to RN standards July to October 1943. On completion of unloading her ferry load, Stryker sailed from Liverpool on July 15 for Chatham Dockyard, taking the northern route passing Cape Wrath, May Island, and Flamborough Head, arriving at Chatham on the 18th. Here she was to be modified to meet RN standards before entering full service. This work included installing British Type 79B aircraft warning and Type 272 surface search radars, replacing the US 5-inch gun mountings with British model, and modification of her petrol distribution system. The work was to take 3 months. On completion of the dockyard work, she was allocated to Western Approaches Command and sailed for the Clyde on October 18, 1943. On October 21, Stryker began working up in the Irish Sea in preparation for operational service as a trade protection carrier. She had not yet operated any aircraft, so her flight deck equipment had to be put through its paces and certified as safe. A number of different aircraft types flew out to the ship to make arrested landings and accelerated takeoffs, including Martlet JV-577, which carried out catapult trials in Stryker on October 24. She was passed as operationally fit to operate aircraft and was allocated No. 824 Composite Naval Air Squadron. The squadron was equipped with 9 Swordfish II aircraft for anti-submarine defense and 6 Sea Hurricane II Sea Fighters to provide protection against enemy aircraft. The squadron flew out to the ship from RAF St. Angelo, County Fermanagh, Northern Ireland on October 27. Stryker spent the next month conducting flying training and generally working up her ship's departments in the Irish Sea training areas. On November 25, she entered a Clyde shipyard for defect rectification before becoming operational. There were 2 aircraft accidents during this period. Swordfish LS-285 piloted by Sub-Lieutenant T.O. Hounslow RNVR suffered aileron damage while being pushed aft. The tail ran over the round down on November 20. On the 29th, Sub-Lieutenant T.R.P. Moen RNVR was killed while flying in Sea Hurricane NF-696. The aircraft spun into the sea from 1,000 feet. On leaving the dockyard, she resumed flying training in readiness for her first operational voyage. On December 9, Swordfish, LS-319, flown by Sub-Lieutenant W.H. Thompson RNVR, hit the barrier after catching a late wire landing on trade protection duties. The ship sailed from the Clyde on December 15, 1943 to join the 1st Escort Group on convoy protection duties in the Atlantic. She covered the passage of the outbound combined convoy OS-62/KMS-36 between the 16th and 28th of December on passage from Liverpool bound for Freetown and Gibraltar. Although 824 Squadron was an experienced unit, the weather in the southwest approaches and the Atlantic made flying challenging. During her first convoy escort sortie, the squadron had three landing accidents involving swordfish. On the 20th, LS-319, piloted by Sub-Lieutenant W.A. Pennington RNVR, bounced on landing, missing all the arrestor wires. He opened the throttle and attempted to climb away, but hit the ship's radar aerials and crashed into the sea. The crew were safely rescued. Sub-Lieutenant S.W. Taylor RNVR made a heavy landing on a pitching and rolling deck on Christmas Eve. The undercarriage collapsed and the propeller hit the deck. Sub-Lieutenant J.C.H. Simpson RNVR also made a heavy landing on the 26th when he broke the tail wheel of LS-461. At dusk on December 28, Stryker was detached from the convoy to rendezvous with the inbound convoy SL-143. She was escorted by the Royal Indian Navy sloops HMIS Corvary and Kisma. They rejoined OS-62/KMS-36 once Stryker made contact with SL-143 at 12 o'clock on the 29th. It was the turn of the fighter pilots to suffer damage landing on New Year's Eve. Sea Hurricane NF-699 floated into the barrier, causing damage to the propeller, undercarriage and engine. This machine was piloted by Sub-Lieutenant P.A. Clark RNVR, but was usually the personal aircraft of Major V.B.G. Cheeseman Royal Marines, and bore the name Libby on the engine cowling. Major Cheeseman also suffered a barrier crash on the same day, flying in Sea Hurricane NF-694 coded U. He floated into the barrier, causing damage to the propeller. On January 1, 1944, Stryker switched to cover the outbound convoys OS-63/KMS-37, remaining with them until the 7th. On that date she joined the inbound SL-144, providing fighter and anti-submarine cover until January 15. During this period only one Sea Hurricane had a barrier crash while another engaged the enemy, Lieutenant C.J. Allen, RNZNVR. On returning from a fighter patrol in JS-333, coded S, on the 7th could not lower his arrestor hook and broke through number 1 barrier on landing before being stopped by number 2 barrier. At 1300 hours on the 9th, Sub-Lieutenant I.W. Hayes, RNVR in Sea Hurricane NF-670, coded Q, attacked a JU-290 which was shadowing the convoy. It dived away but he could not pursue as his aircraft began vibrating due to a detached fuselage panel, so was forced to return to the ship. Stryker detached from the convoy on the 15th and arrived back in the UK on the 17th after 26 days at sea and entered a Clyde shipyard for a period of defect rectification. Operations with the 16th Escort Group. On completion of her repairs, Stryker was allocated to work in company with her sister ship Fencer. The two carriers, escorted by the sloops Crane and Wimbrel, exercised with the 7th Escort Group off the Clyde on February 4 and 6 before sailing for Red Bay, Northern Ireland to rendezvous with the 10th Escort Group. During night deck landing training on the night of the 5th, Sea Hurricane NE-977 suffered extensive damage to its rear fuselage when its tail hit the round down. The pilot, Sub-Lieutenant L.J.R. Harrison, RNZNVR, was okay. On arrival at Red Bay, 10th Escort Group comprising of the frigates Spey, Rother, Weir, Fine Dawn, and Lossie, and 7th Escort Group comprising the sloops Woodcock, Crane, Wimbrel with Stryker and Fencer formed the 16th Escort Group, to operate as an independent submarine hunting force off Western Ireland. Stryker was Senior Officer 16th Escort Group. Stryker and Fencer sailed from Red Bay on February 7 to cover the 60-ship convoy ON-223, outbound from Liverpool for New York, joining with the convoy at 1400 hours on the 8th and provided anti-submarine sweeps until the 15th before detaching to rendezvous with the inbound convoy HX-278, Fencer with frigates Spey, Rother, Weir, Fine Dawn, and Lossie joined as close escort while Stryker with the sloops Woodcock, Crane, and Wimbrel operated as distant cover 50 to 100 miles out. The force accompanied the convoy back to the UK, detaching on the 19th for the Clyde where Stryker was to undergo another period of defect rectification in a Clyde yard. There was only one recorded flying accident during this period, Swordfish NE-990, flown by Sub-Lieutenant AFN Turvey RNVR, landed on the starboard side of the deck and its starboard oleo was damaged when it went over the deck edge on the 17th. Her squadron was disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Donibristle on February 19 for the duration of period in dockyard hands, re-embarking on February 29 in preparation for Stryker's next operation. Stryker next sailed to provide anti-submarine air cover for joint outbound convoy OS-70/KMS-44 during passage in the northwestern approaches. She covered the convoys from March 3 to March 15 when the two convoys split. On March 10, Stryker was detached with the frigate Bainton and corvette Clover to conduct air attacks on U-575, which at 1:54 had torpedoed and sunk the corvette Asphodel west northwest of Cape Finisterre. She was part of escort for joint inward convoy SL-150/MKS-41, which was passing through the same area. Only five survivors out of Asphodel's crew of 97 were picked up by Clover. After the attack, the U-boat was hunted for 18 hours but managed to escape. On leaving OS-70/KMS-44, Stryker switched to cover convoy KMS-44G and escorted it into Gibraltar, arriving there on March 17. There were 8 crashes during this period. Sub-Lieutenant H.G. Foster RNVR damaged the fuselage of Swordfish LS-461 on March 2 when his machine ended up in the barrier, and on the 8th Sub-Lieutenant S.W. Taylor RNVR in Swordfish NE-980 floated into the barrier and the aircraft ended on its nose. On March 9, 3 aircraft were damaged landing while on a pitching deck. Sub-Lieutenant H.G. Foster RNVR selected insufficient throttle when he landed in Swordfish LS-461, the hard landing damaging the aircraft's stem post. Sub-Lieutenant T.H. Talbot RNVR did the same in NF-116 coded, V, landed tail first damaging the stern post and tail oleo. The ship pitched suddenly while Swordfish NE-990 was over the stern and the aircraft hit the round down and bounced into the barrier. The crew, Lieutenant D.A. Davis RNVR, Sub-Lieutenant A. Bowden RNs Ed VRN and Tag T.W. Leggett were unhurt. The aircraft was beyond repair and after being stripped of essential parts was jettisoned overboard. On March 10, Sub-Lieutenant D.A. Davis RNVR made a heavy landing in LS-240, coded, G, in a heavy swell, caught the last wire, and ended up on its nose. LS-461, which had been repaired after the incident of March 9, suffered engine failure on the 13th and force landed on the sea. The pilot Lieutenant Commander G.C. Edwards RCN and crew were picked up by Fusilier. Also on the 13th, Sea Hurricane JS-292 bounced on landing, floated over all the wires and ended up in the barrier and tipped on its nose. The pilot Sub-Lieutenant C.J. Allen RNZNVR, was okay. The final incident was on March 16 when Sea Hurricane NF-694 coded, U, flown by Petty Officer Pilot P.H. Blanco RNVR, bounced landing on and crashed into the barrier. On March 18, Stryker was allocated to the Home Fleet on loan for planned operations in Norwegian waters. On the 21st, while alongside in the dockyard at Gibraltar, His Excellency the Governor General of Gibraltar visited the ship and met the officers of the ship and her squadron. Stryker sailed the next day to rendezvous with convoy MKS-43G. This rendezvoused with SL-152 on March 23, and the combined convoy of 95 merchants and 11 escorts continued on to Liverpool, arriving there on April 4. Stryker detached from the convoy on April 2 and proceeded to the Clyde for a further defect rectification period. On making the rendezvous 824 lost another Swordfish, LS-456 stalled off the turn on approach to the flight deck and crashed into the sea on the ship's port quarter. The crew, Sub-Lieutenant D.A. Davis and Telegraphist Ter Gunnar T.W. Legitta, were picked up unhurt by the convoy rescue ship Aboyne. 2 days later, on the 25th, Sea Hurricanes NF-674 and JS-333, pilots unnamed, were involved in a friendly fire incident when on a Cobra patrol around the convoy, they attacked and shot down an American C-54 which was not showing IFFYL en route from Stephenville to Casablanca. There was one final incident on the voyage home on the 26th, Swordfish NF-116 coded, V, flown by Sub-Lieutenant J.L. Harrison RNVR, hit the round down attempting to land on a pitching deck. The aircraft broke its back. The damage was not repairable. The aircraft was probably jettisoned. Operations with the Home Fleet, April to July 1944. On leaving the dockyard, Stryker sailed for Scapa Flow on April 17 to report for temporary duty with the Home Fleet's escort carrier squadron. On arrival at Scapa on the 18th, 824 Squadron was briefly disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Grimseter, where a further three Swordfish were received, increasing their number to 12 in readiness for her first mission, Operation Planet. Stryker sailed for the operation from Scapa on Friday, April 21. Operation Planet was a strike at the German battleship Tirpitz. The force comprised of Anson, Vice Admiral, 2IC, Home Fleet, Royalist, Rear Admiral Escort Carriers, Victorious, Furious, Emperor, Searcher, Stryker, Kent, Jamaica, Ursa, Undaunted, Wakeful, Wizard, Serapis, Javelin, Venus, Vigilant, Sioux, Algonquin, Poron, Swift, Kempenfelt, and Galvin. The attack on Tirpitz, which would have involved 40 Barracudas and 40 escort fighters, was cancelled because of bad weather conditions on the 24th. The weather situation improved sufficiently for the next round of operations, codenamed Ridge Able and Ridge Baker, to be carried out on the 26th. Operation Ridge Able involved the fleet carriers Victorious and Furious, and the escort carriers Emperor, Searcher, Pursuer and Stryker, to conduct attacks on enemy shipping in the Bodo and Rorvik areas respectively. The second stage had to be cancelled, again due to bad weather. However, Ridge Able did result in three ships sunk off Bodo and a fourth damaged. The force arrived back at Scapa on April 28. Stryker and her squadron now prepared for the upcoming Operation Hoops. Operation Hoops called for strikes by aircraft from Emperor, escorted by fighters from Searcher, on shipping between Kristiansand North and Gross, together with oil tanks at Kjenn and a fish oil factory at Fossivag. Stryker was to provide anti-submarine coverage. Ships of the Home Fleet put to sea again on Sunday, May 7. The force, which departed Scapa at 0600, comprised Royalist flagship Rear Admiral Escort Carriers, RAEC, with Jamaica, Searcher, which joined at sea later that day, Emperor, and Stryker, escorted by Kempenfelt, Wager, Mann, Sioux, Onslaught, and Undaunted. The force arrived in the flying off position at 0730 on the 8th May, and two strikes, each of 8 Hellcats escorted by 8 Wildcats, were flown off. The first strike attacked a northbound convoy of 5 merchant ships with 10 escorts 15 miles southwest of Kristiansand. One merchant ship was probably damaged and 2 Wildcats were shot down. On returning, the strike was jumped by a mixed force of 6 ME-109s and FW-190s. One Hellcat was shot down, but the remaining Hellcats destroyed at least one FW-190 and 2 ME-109s. No convoy was sighted by the second strike, so the Hellcats attacked the oil tanks at Kjenn and a herring oil factory at Fosnavåg. One merchant vessel was machine gunned off Elsund and 2 BV-138s shot down by the escorting Wildcats. One Hellcat of the second strike, which was damaged by flak, was lost after homing successfully back to the force. The force then withdrew to the westwards and returned to Scarpa at 11 o'clock on May 9. Stryker's squadron had an uneventful mission with no casualties or enemy encountered. The squadron disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone later that day. An additional squadron and a royal visit. On May 11, Stryker embarked the 10 Wildcats of 898 Squadron to provide combat air patrols, CAP, during strikes on Norwegian coastal targets. Normally embarked in pursuit, the squadron had remained in the Orkneys when pursuer sailed for Liverpool on April 30 to undergo repairs. They were on board when His Majesty King George VI visited Scarpa on the 11th. He inspected many of the ships assembled, including Stryker. 824 was embarked the following day when the ship sailed from Scarpa for Operation Potluck. Operation Potluck was another strike against shipping on the Norwegian coast, between Rorvik and Frohavit, by the escort carrier squadron. However, the main object was to create a diversion for Operation Brawn, which was being carried out simultaneously further north. The force comprised of Royalist, RAEC, Sheffield, Emperor, and Stryker, screened by Onslow, Obedient, Ursa, Bliskorka, Porun, and Wakeful, left Scarpa on May 12 and proceeded towards the Norwegian coast, arriving in the flying-off position at 12:30 on May 14, by which time German Shadowers were in company. After withdrawing to the westward, the force was attacked by 6-8 ME-110s. Gunfire from Royalists turned the formation away, and Sea Hurricanes from Stryker's 824 squadron caused them to jettison their bombs and veer off. On 15 May, the force closed the Norwegian coast again, and at 04:25 a second strike of 8 bombers and 7 fighters proceeded to attack the fish oil factory at Fosnavåg, and 2 armed coasters off the shore, as no convoy was sighted. At 0600 at position 65 degrees 16 minutes north, 6 degrees 13 minutes east, one of the shadowing Focke-Wulf 200 Condors was attacked by 2 of 898 Squadron Wildcats, JV-510 coded, 7R, flown by Lieutenant R.I. Harrison RNZNVR, and JV-496, coded, 6V, piloted by Lieutenant W.I. Shepherd RMVR. The aircraft was driven off and went into cloud with its port engine smoking on returning from a CAP sortie. Lieutenant R. Harrison RNZNVR, flying JV-460 coded, 7T, landed on Stryker with his hookup and was stopped by the barrier. The strike returned without loss. Unfavorable weather reports prevented any further strikes, and the force withdrew, arriving back at Scarpa on May 16. Only 2 aircraft from 824 were damaged during Operation Potluck. Both on the 14th, Sea Hurricane JS-333 flown by Sub-Lieutenant E.C. Gulden RNVR bounced after catching a wire, causing portfolio damage, and Swordfish NF-161, coded, N, flown by Sub-Lieutenant D.A. Davis RNVR, landed tail down, damaging the tail oleo and stem post. The force arrived back at Scarpa at 0600 on Tuesday, 16 May 1944. The following day, a detachment of 8 aircraft from 824 were put ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone. They remained ashore till the 31st, when they were briefly re-embarked. A further detachment of 13 aircraft then flew ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Grimsetter on June 1, re-embarking the next day. It is assumed that 898 Squadron remained aboard Stryker at Scarpa until June 1, when they are recorded as disembarking to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone, to await the return of pursuer from Rosyth. It is unclear what duties Stryker performed at Scarpa over the period between the completion of Operation Potluck and her next outing, Operation Wanderers, in mid-June. It is possible she conducted flying training and anti-submarine sweeps, since there is recorded aircraft activity in June which indicates she was conducting flying operations, all relating to Sea Hurricanes. On June 2, Sub-Lieutenant J.W. Hayes RNVR, in JS-222 coded, Q, bounced on landing and floated into the barrier, and on the 7th Sub-Lieutenant E.C. Gulden RNVR floated NF-674, coded R, into the barrier. There were two more barrier crashes on the 13th, Sub-Lieutenant R.O. Steele RNVR, in JS-292, bounced over all the arrestor wires and flew into the barrier, damaging his propeller and wheel fairings, and Sub-Lieutenant P.A. Clark RNVR put NF-694, coded U, into the barrier after his arrestor hook jammed up. The squadron disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone on June 14, re-embarking on the 19th. Operation Wanderers was designed to create a diversion in Norwegian waters in the hope of influencing the German Navy to retain the large U-boat force already in that area, instead of relocating them south to harass convoys in the English Channel supplying the ongoing Operation Overlord. The force comprising of Royalist, RAEC, Sheffield, Stryker, and Fencer escorted by Milne, Musketeer, Marne, Meteor, Wakeful, and Wessex sailed from Scarpa at 0600 on Tuesday, June 20, 1944. The operation was unsuccessful, no U-boats were sighted. One Sea Hurricane, JS-292, had a barrier crash on the 22nd. The pilot Sub-Lieutenant P.A. Clark RNVR was unhurt. Defect ratification and 824 fighter flight is re-equipped. On arrival back at Scarpa, on the 25th, the Swordfish flight was put ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone and the ship sailed for the Clyde later that day. On June 27, Stryker entered a Clyde shipyard for a short defect rectification period. On leaving the yard, Stryker proceeded to Belfast Lock where her remaining Sea Hurricanes were flown ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Eglinton on June 30. The Sea Hurricanes were withdrawn and six Wildcat Mark V fighters were issued. Detached Operations, July to August 1944. Stryker sailed from Belfast at 16:30 on July 10, under orders to assist in the search for German submarine U-11 which had attacked fishing trawlers in a position west of Cape Roth. Her fighter flight re-embarked that afternoon once she was underway. She was to rendezvous with Force 34 which consisted of the British-built escort carrier Vindex, frigates Bullen, Goodall, Manners, corvettes Launceston Castle, and Pevensey Castle. Canadian corvettes Anpria and St. Thomas. On reaching the rendezvous point off the North Minches, A24 Swordfish flight was landed on and Stryker relieved Vindex which returned to the Clyde for aviation patrol, escorted by Anpria and Launceston Castle. She returned on July 13 escorted by the 3rd Escort Group, which relieved Force 34 on station. This was to be the last protracted submarine hunt in the European theatre of war conducted by escort carriers. Weather conditions were poor, Coastal Command aircraft engaged in the operation had been ordered to return to their bases because of sea fog, but carrier aircraft continued to fly and were often landing on invisibility of less than 200 yards. On completion of the sweep on July 27, Stryker was detached on loan to Commander-in-Chief, Plymouth for Operation Kinetic. There is only one serious accident recorded for this mission despite the extreme operating conditions. On the 18th Swordfish NE-980 caught last wire, her arrestor hook pulled out and the machine broke through both barriers and crashed into Swordfish NF-237 parked forward. The pilot Sub-Lieutenant H.G. Foster was okay. Operation Kinetic was an anti-shipping sweep in the Bay of Biscay with the aim of the destruction of enemy merchant shipping and escorts on the coastal convoy route between Gironde and Brest. Force 26 comprising Diadem, Vice Admiral 10th Cruiser Squadron, with Bellona, Stryker and Canadian destroyers Assiniboine, Foxhound, Restigouche and Skeena of the 10th Destroyer Flotilla and three ships of the 11th Escort Group sailed from Plymouth at 18:38 on July 30 and was at sea for 4 days operating off La Rochelle but failed to locate the enemy. Force 26 arrived back at Plymouth on August 3. There was only one aircraft crashed during Operation Kinetic, Sub-Lieutenant Emiark Yates RMVR in Wildcat JV-635 Court No. 8 Wire, continued into the barrier and damaged the propeller and tail oleo on August 2. Return to Scarpa and Arctic Convoy Escort Duty, August to September 1944. Stryker arrived back at Scarpa on August 7 and was allocated to form part of the escorting force for the round-trip Arctic convoy code-named Operation Vital. Operation Vital was to provide safe passage of convoys JW-59 and RA-59A between the United Kingdom and North Russia. The convoys were to be protected by a force comprised of Vindex, Vice Admiral 10th Cruiser Squadron, Stryker, Jamaica, Destroyers Milne, Marne, Meteor, Musketeer, Caprice, 20th Escort Group, Destroyer Whitehall, Frigate Lockdown Vegan, Sloops Signet, Peacock, Kite, Keppel, Mermaid, Corvettes Bluebow, Charlock, Dianella, Oxlip, and Honeysuckle. The convoy of 33 ships of JW-59 left Loch Hue on August 15 with the 12th Escort Group. Vindex with Stryker and Jamaica, escorted by Volage, Algonquin, Vuillaume, Virago, Scourge, Whirlwind, and Wrangler left Scarpa on the 16th to rendezvous with the convoy on the 17th. On passage, 23 U-boats were sighted, though none was allowed closer than 40 miles from the convoy. The two carriers flew 444 hours in the U-boat area and made 14 attacks at distances between 50 and 75 miles from the convoy. On the 20th, another group joined the convoy. This was 8 destroyers being delivered to the Russian Navy under the Lend-Lease Agreement. They were USS Arzachidge, ex-Brighton, USS Arzachidge, ex-Chelsea, USS Arzachidge, ex-Churchill, USS Arzachidge, ex-Georgetown, USS Arzachidge, ex-Leamington, USS Arzachidge, ex-Lincoln, USS Arzachidge, ex-H. Richmond, and USS Arzachidge, ex-Roxburgh, accompanied by the British destroyer Cassandra. More escorts also joined on the 20th. The battleship USS Air Archangel, ex-Royal Sovereign, flying the flag of Vice Admiral Levchenko, accompanied by the British destroyers Scorpion, Serapis, and Cambrian. In addition, 10 Russian motor launches also sailed with the convoy. No merchant ships were lost, but the sloop Kite of the 22nd Escort Group was torpedoed and sunk by 2 torpedoes from U-344 on August 21. A shadowing flying boat, a BV-138, was shot down by Stryker's Wildcats at 0410 on August 22, JV-476, coded Z, flown by Sub-Lieutenant T.D. Lucy RNVR, and JV-589 coded R, flown by Sub-Lieutenant Arise Edipan RNVR, shot down a black BV-138 which dived vertically into the sea. No survivors were seen, at position 74 degrees 55 minutes north, 13 degrees 50 minutes east. Later the same day, one of Vindex's swordfish sank U-344. The next day another swordfish from Vindex located U-354, attempting to approach the convoy to the north of North Cape. She was sunk by the destroyer Keppel, frigate Lockdown Vegan, and sloops Mermaid and Peacock of the 20th Escort Group. Russian fighter cover was available from the morning of August 24. There were no casualties to aircraft. JW-59 arrived at Kola Inlet on the 25th with all 33 merchant ships. The Russian warships arrived at Kola on the 24th, having left the convoy on the 23rd. While at anchor in the Kola Inlet awaiting the assembly of the return convoy, Stryker played host to British and Russian sailors and naval officers, when a concert was held in the hangar. The entertainment included performances accompanied by a string quartet. The return convoy RA-59A sailed from the Kola Inlet 3 days later for the return voyage to Loch Hue. This was a much smaller convoy of only 9 merchant ships. Swordfish from Vindex attacked the only U-boat sighted on September 2 with rockets and depth charges. It was destroyed by the destroyers Keppel and Whitehall, and sloops Peacock and Mermaid. RA-59A arrived at Loch Yew on September 5. Vindex, Striker, Jamaica, and the fleet destroyers arrived at Scarpa on the 6th. There were only three flying incidents during the passage of JW-59 and RA-59A. Shortly after sailing from Scarpa, a serious crash occurred which resulted in a fatality. Lieutenant R. Moss, RNVR in Wildcat JV-442 landed on Striker, but the arrestor wire broke. The aircraft broke through both barriers and into the tail of Swordfish LS-231 in the forward aircraft park, FX-561956 air mechanic, airframes. Harry Barrow was killed, possibly by the parted wire. On August 21, Sub-Lieutenant C.G. Rowe RNVR made a heavy landing in Swordfish HS-406 which damaged the starboard oleo and lower wing. The third was on September 1, Swordfish LS-231, coded D, missed all the arrestor wires and flew into the barrier. On coming to an abrupt stop, the engine fell out. The pilot, Sub-Lieutenant J.C. Simpson, and crew were okay. Striker and Vindex sailed from Scarpa at 1600 on the 6th for the Clyde, escorted by Virago and Sue as far south as the North Minches, and arrived on the Clyde the following day. Here Striker made preparations for her next mission. She sailed again at 07:30 on Wednesday, September 13, 1944, to rendezvous with the British-built escort carrier Campania in the Mull of Kintyre, escorted by Kempenfelt and obedient on passage to Scarpa. Campania and Striker arrived at Scarpa on September 14. Operation Rigmarole was the code name for the next Arctic convoy escort mission to the Kola Inlet and back with convoys JW-60 and RA-60. The escort force comprised of the battleship Rodney, cruiser Diadem and escort aircraft carriers Campania, RA-1st Cruiser Squadron, and Striker, screened by destroyers Marne, Meteor, Milne, Musketeer, Venus, Saumarez, Scorpion, Verulam, Virago, Voyage, Algonquin, RCN and Sioux, RCN. The 30 merchant vessels of JW-60 departed from Loch Yew on September 15, escorted by the ships of the 7th Escort Group, destroyers Bulldog, Cygnet, Whitehall, frigate Keppel, corvettes Bamborough Castle, and Allington Castle. The carriers and their escorts sailed from Scarpa on the 16th to rendezvous with the convoy on the 17th. JW-60 arrived at Kola Inlet on September 23 without loss. There was little enemy contact due to bad weather conditions. The return convoy RA-60 sailed from the Kola Inlet 4 days later on the 27th for the voyage to Loch Yew. The convoy contained 32 merchant ships. Swordfish from both carriers flew night anti-submarine patrols on the homeward voyage. Two merchant vessels were torpedoed and sunk by U-310 on the 29th. The American, SS Edward H. Crockett, was abandoned by her crew and was later scuttled by gunfire from Milne, and the British SS Sam Suva, she broke in two after being hit by a torpedo but remained afloat, and had to be scuttled by gunfire from Musketeer and Bulldog. On the 30th, Swordfish aircraft F of Campania's 813 squadron attacked and sank U-921 in position 72 degrees 32 minutes north, 12 degrees 55 minutes east, west of Bear Island. The carriers detached from the convoy on October 3, arriving at Scarpa on the 4th. Convoy RA-60 arrived at Loch Yew on October 7. 824 Squadron had three landing incidents on the return voyage, all on the 29th. Wildcat JV-634 flown by Sub-Lieutenant B.J.C. Dibben, RNVR, hit the round down. The arrestor hook snapped and the aircraft flew into the barrier. Swordfish NE-988 flown by Sub-Lieutenant P.G. Comer, RNVR, had barrier crash, while the undercarriage of Swordfish DK-762 collapsed on landing and the engine fell out. The pilot, Sub-Lieutenant S.W. Taylor, and crew were okay. Allocated to the British Pacific Fleet, ferry voyage to Australia. Stryker arrived on the Clyde on October 6 for a period of defect rectification. 824 Squadron parted company with Stryker after this operation. The squadron disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Macrahanish. The short time in dockyard hands was to repair damage incurred during her last voyage and to prepare her for her new role as part of the 30th Aircraft Carrier Squadron, 30 ACS, which was to form as part of the new British Pacific Fleet for operations in the Southwest Pacific. On October 25, Stryker was berthed at King George V Dock, Liverpool alongside fencer for aircraft to be loaded aboard as deck cargo by floating crane. The aircraft were Mosquito B-4s belonging to 618 Squadron Royal Air Force and these, together with their equipment and stores, were to be ferried to Australia aboard the two carriers on their voyage to join the British Pacific Fleet. The personnel of 618 Squadron embarked on October 30, half in Stryker, the other half in fencer. 618 Squadron was a specialist unit operating 24 Mosquito B-4s and 3 Mosquito PR-16s for the delivery of the Hybel anti-shipping bouncing bomb. By the time this unit was ready, German targets were scarce, so in July 1944 it was allocated for the Pacific Theater for operations against Japanese targets. The aircraft were carrier capable and had arrestor hooks and strengthened undercarriage legs, but no record of any of their Mosquitoes performing shipboard deck landings are known. The squadron's pilots were trained in the art of deck landing flying Barracudas on HMS Raja. The two carriers departed the Clyde at 14:30 on October 31, bound for Gibraltar, escorted by Kelvin, Mann, and Musketeer. The ships arrived at Gibraltar at 0100 on November 5. After refueling, they continued on to Alexandria, undaunted joining the escort. They arrived at Alexandria on November 11, where the three destroyers that had escorted her from the UK detached to join the Mediterranean fleet. After transit of the Suez Canal, Stryker, Fencer and Undaunted took passage down the Red Sea to call at Aden to refuel before crossing the Indian Ocean. They arrived at Trincomalee, Ceylon on November 22. After a short time spent in Ceylon, both Stryker and Fencer sailed from Colombo on December 10, 1944, this time in company with the cruiser Swiftsure, flagship of Rear Admiral E.J.P. Brind, CB, CBE, commanding 4th Cruiser Squadron, and their escort. The destroyers Kempenfelt, Captain D, 4th Destroyer Flotilla, Wessex, and Wakeful. Once at sea, they were joined by the CVEs Atheling and Battler, the cruiser HMNZ Achilles and destroyers Wager and Whelp, to proceed in convoy to Australia. Most of the destroyers returned to Trincomalee on the 11th, and on the 16th the cruisers Swiftsure and Achilles parted company with the carriers and went on ahead to Fremantle. From Fremantle, Atheling and Battler continued on to Sydney before crossing the Pacific for a period of duty on loan to the US Navy. Fencer and Stryker sailed for Melbourne after refueling, arriving there on December 23 to unload 618 Squadron in their aircraft at Nelson Pier, Williamstown, Victoria. Both ships then proceeded to Sydney to join the BPF, arriving there on January 7, 1945. Operations with the BPF, January to August 1945. During February, Stryker was employed on deck landing practice duties operating in the Jervis Bay area for squadrons ashore at Royal Naval Air Station Nowra, Mobile Naval Air Base No. 1. 1836 Squadron's Corsairs visited the ship on several occasions, and two serious landing accidents occurred during this month. The first involved Sub-Lieutenant H. West RNVR, who flew JT-538 into the barrier on the 12th. On the 21st, Sub-Lieutenant H. Griffin RNVR, overturned JT-419 on landing in a spectacular accident which was caught on camera. At the end of February, Stryker was assigned as a forward area replenishment carrier. In this role, she would not carry any operational squadrons but carried replenishment to loads of spare airframes for issue to other carriers whilst at sea. In this role, she operated as a part of the air train, the aviation logistics support element of the British Pacific Fleet's logistics lifeline, the fleet train. This organization consisted of a collection of merchant and military vessels which supplied the fleet with fuel, food, ammunition and stores. The main base was at Sydney with forward bases at Manus in the Admiralty Islands and Leyte in the Philippines, its vessels operating over a distance of some 2,500 miles each way. Stryker spent the first week of March loading equipment, spares, airframes and passengers in preparation for her first voyage to the forward base at Manus. On March 4 she embarked elements of MSR-3, Maintenance, Storage and Reserve Unit No. 3, from Royal Naval Air Station Bankstown, HMS Nabberley. This unit was added to Stryker's Air Engineering Department to provide additional capabilities and the maintainer reserve pool of ready-to-issue airframes afloat. This was a stopgap measure imposed because the proposed forward aircraft pool that was to be established ashore in the forward area had not yet been set up, and no suitable location for it had yet been found. Other elements of MSR-3 were embarked in the maintenance carrier Unicorn to bolster her engineering department and provide a second pool. Stryker became the flagship of the 30th Aircraft Carrier Squadron, 30 ACS, on March 4. Her commanding officer, Captain W.P. Carney, receiving promotion to the rank of Commodore 2nd Class and Officer in Command 30 ACS. On March 7, 1945, Stryker sailed from Sydney on passage to Manus, arriving there on the 13th. Stryker and the other escort carriers of 30 ACS were issued two new pennant numbers for operations in the Pacific Theater. Stryker was allocated R315 and A460, she wore R315 for operations as a forward area replenishment carrier. The second number was to be worn when operating in the ferry carrier role. There is photographic evidence that she did wear A460, she is pictured alongside its circular quay in Sydney, date unknown. Iceberg 1 replenishment operations March to April 1945. In order to have the replenishment force in position at the appointed time for the British Pacific Fleet to top up with fuel, before going on to conduct their first strike operation, the first elements of the fleet train, designated Task Force 112, were sailed from Manus on the 17th. This was the Logistics Support Group, LSG, which comprised of Task Unit 112.2.1, CVE Stryker, with 18 replacement aircraft, escorts Crane, Findhorn, and Whirlwind, with the tankers San Ambrosio, Cidadale and San Adolfo, and Task Unit 112.2.5, with the CVE Speaker, 1840 Squadron Hellcats for combat air patrol duties over the LSG, escorted by Pheasant and Kempenfelt. A second convoy of logistics support ships, comprising of Lothian, flagship Rear Admiral, Fleet Train, Slinger, Empire Spearhead, Artifex, Bacchus, Wave King, Wave Monarch, Arndale, Dingaladale, Fort Colville, Ace Musk, Denbighshire, Robert Musk, Thyro S., Hermelin, and Tyne, left Manus on March 19 bound for the Philippines. The convoy arrived at Leyte Gulf on the 26th and anchored in San Pedro Bay. At this time the air train comprised of the CVE Speaker, Stryker and Slinger, 30 ACS, with the repair carrier Unicorn. Additional ships joined later, CVE's Chaser, Ruka and Arbiter and the maintenance carrier Pioneer. Slinger and Stryker were employed as forward area replenishment carriers, later joined by Chaser and Arbiter, Speaker, 1840 Squadron, and later Ruler, 885 Squadron, as CAP, Combat Air Patrol and ASP, Anti-Submarine Patrol, carriers. Unicorn operated at Manus and Leyte as required, and Pioneer was based at Manus on arrival on station. The replenishment carriers embarked mixed loads for transport to the replenishment area, numbers varied from 14 to 25 aircraft. A typical load for Iceberg 1 was 9 Seafires, 7 Avengers, 6 Corsairs, 1 Hellcat, and 1 Firefly, but composition was adjusted when attrition of certain types exceeded estimates or available spare airframes were in short supply. First replenishment period, the British Pacific Fleet, now redesignated Task Force 57, sailed from Ulithi at 06:30 on March 23, 1945 for operations as part of the U.S. 5th Fleet under Admiral Raymond Spruance, United States Navy. They met with the LSG for a short replenishment at sea on the 25th, which included the issuing of 4 replacement aircraft from Stryker, and topping off fuel tanks. TF-57 joined U.S. Task Force 58 on the 26th for joint attacks on islands of the Sakishima Gunto Group in support of preparations for U.S. landings on Okinawa. This was the first of 12 strike sorties against Japanese airfields on the islands of the Sakishima Gunto Group in Operation Iceberg 1. Because of the long distances involved between the operational area and the nearest forward base, all replenishment had to be done at sea. TF-57 was operating a strike cycle of 2 days on station, followed by 2 to 3 days of replenishment. Second replenishment period. On withdrawing from the operational area at dusk on March 27, TF-57 met the LSG in Area Midge 1 at 07:30 on March 28, a rectangular area east of Luzon which covered 5,000 square miles of ocean, and began refueling. Stryker issued 13 replacement aircraft and recovered 2 flyable duds, flyable but unserviceable aircraft. In addition, she transferred a replacement Avenger aircrew to 854 Squadron aboard Illustrious. Her stock of spare aircraft exhausted, Stryker departed for Leyte in the afternoon of the 29th, escorted by Crane and Whirlwind. Replenishment was complete by mid-afternoon on March 30 and TF-57 withdrew. The next, third, replenishment was done by Slinger, 2nd, 5th of April. She issued 22 of her 25 replacement aircraft to the fleet carriers and recovered 2 flyable duds. Stryker sailed from Leyte on April 5 with a smaller replacement load of 14 aircraft. Fourth replenishment period, this began at 0600 on April 8, Task Unit 112.2.1, Stryker, Crane and Whirlwind, and Task Unit 112.2.5. Tankers Arndale, Dingaladale, San Ambrosio, and San Adolfo, rendezvoused with TF-57 in position Kuti 1. Speaker's 1840 Squadron Hellcats again provided cap for the fleet train, while Stryker issued 12 replacement aircraft and recovered 4 flyable duds and provided 1 Avenger crew to 854 Squadron. Replenishment was completed by the afternoon of the 9th and TF-57 left Kuti 1 to return to Sakishima. Fifth and sixth replenishment periods, there were no replacement airframes available when the fleet next withdrew to replenish on April 14, but Formidable was awaiting their arrival to relieve Illustrious, which was returning to Leyte for repairs. Formidable's air group was at full strength though. The shortage of airframes was still not resolved by the time of the next replenishment period on April 18, and the fleet departed for the final serial of strikes on the evening of the 19th. On completion of this sortie, they were to withdraw to Leyte to meet the fleet maintenance group for repairs and a replenishment period. 32 days after sailing from Ulithi, the fleet anchored in San Pedro Bay, the Philippines, close to the ships of the waiting fleet train. On April 23, Task Force 57 had spent 26 of these days on operations, and had completed 12 strike days. Iceberg 2 replenishment operations, May to August 1945. After 8 days of repair and replenishment, Task Force 57 sailed from Leyte on at 6:30 on May 1 to return to their operational area off the Sakishima Gunto Group for a second series of 12 strike days. Seventh replenishment period, the fleet refueled from the tanker group San Ambrosio, San Adolfo and Cedardale with Ruler, replacing Speaker in the cap and ASP role, carrying 885 Squadron operating a mix of Hellcats, Corsairs and Avengers, Crane, Avon and Wimbrel in Area Mosquito 1 during the day on the 3rd to top off their tanks before departing for the flying off position. No aircraft were issued. Eighth replenishment period, At 06:30 on May 6, TF-57 met up with the Logistics Support Group Ruler, 885 Cap and ASP, Stryker, Replenishment, Crane, Napier, Norman, Nepal, Avon, Wimbrel, Pheasant, and tankers Wave King, Wave Monarch, San Ambrosio, San Adolfo, and Cedardale. The replenishment loads for Iceberg 2 were adjusted due to an acute shortage of Seafires. The average load for Iceberg 2 was 3 Seafires, 1 Avenger, 10 Corsairs, 7 Hellcat, and 1 Firefly. This was due to a shortage in Seafires being assembled and sent forward from Australia. During the day, Stryker transferred 15 replacement aircraft to the fleet and then embarked 34 casualties from formidable injured by kamikaze attack on May 4. Stryker and the other CVEs of 30 ACS were tasked with casualty evacuation in the replenishment areas, and Stryker, as flagship, had the largest medical staff aboard, having a sick berth CPO on staff above the allowance for CVEs. On completion of embarking the casualties, she sailed in company with Kempenfelt at 19:15 for Leyte, where the casualties were transferred to the hospital ship Oxfordshire. Fueling and exchange of stores, mail and correspondence was completed by 1400 hours the next day, and the fleet disengaged from the tankers and took departure for the operations area. Stryker was at anchor in San Pedro Bay, Leyte, when Victory in Europe, VE Day, was announced. Those not involved in embarking aircraft were allowed ashore to celebrate. 9th replenishment period, TF-57 met the tanker group Arndale, Eastmusk, Dingaladale, and San Imado at 6:10 May 10. Speaker was now on replenishment duties, Ruler with 885 combat air patrols and anti-submarine patrols, with Nepal, Crane, Pheasant, Wala, RAN, Ballarat, Woodcock, Weasel, Tug. 6 Corsair flyable duds were received by Speaker from Formidable, and 7 replacements were issued. 20 casualties were embarked from Formidable and Victorious for passage to the hospital ship Oxfordshire at Leyte. 10th replenishment period, at 06:30 on May 14, TF-57 met Ruler, 885 Cap and ASP, Crane, Woodcock, Pheasant, Weasel and tankers Arndale and Dingaladale in Area Kuti 1. A second group comprising Stryker, Replenishment, Nizam and tankers Wave King and Wave Monarch were delayed, but were on station by 10 o'clock. The hospital ship, Jijalinka, arrived at the replenishment area later that afternoon, prepared to accept any future casualties when the fleet withdrew from operations. Stryker transferred 14 replacement aircraft and recovered 1 flyable dud. At 19:10 the fleet disengaged from the tanker group for the night. A further 6 aircraft were transferred and 1 flyable dud received by Stryker during the second day of replenishment on the 15th. At 17:05 the fleet disengaged from the tanker group and departed for the operations area. Stryker, Napier, RAN, and Nizam, RAN, with tankers Wave King and Wave Monarch, and Pheasant and Woodcock with tankers Arndale and Dingaladale, departed for Leyte. 11th replenishment period, the logistics support group met with the fleet at 05:45 May 18 in Area Kuti 1. Present were Ruler, Cap and ASP, Chaser, Replenishment, Crane, Grenville, Norman, RAN, Wimbrel, Bendigo, RAN, Pirate, Weasel and tankers San Ambrosio, San Adolfo, and Cedardale. Chaser transferred 3 Seafires, 2 Hellcats, 1 Firefly, 2 Avengers and 1 Corsair to Task Force 57. The following day Chaser recovered 3 flyable but unserviceable Avengers and 1 Firefly. 12th replenishment period, TF-57 net with the LSG on the morning of May 22 for the last full replenishment period of the iceberg operations. There were 2 replenishment carriers on station, Chaser and Speaker, Ruler providing Cap and ASPs. Also present were Crane, Napier, RAN, Avon and Findhorn, and tankers Wave King, Wave Monarch, Eastmusk, San Imado, and the ammunition issuing ship Robert Musk. During the day Chaser transferred 10 aircraft to the fleet, Speaker issued one Avenger to 849 Squadron on Victorious. At 1800 Formidable was detached to proceed to Manus and then Sydney to expedite repair of battle damage. She was escorted by Kempenfelt and Whirlwind, both of whom were due for refit. At 1915 the fleet disengaged from the tanker group for the night. Replenishment continued on the 23rd, Speaker issued three Fireflies to 1770 Squadron on Indefatigable and Chaser transferred four more aircraft. During the day two Hellcats from Chaser crashed into the sea, neither pilot was recovered. At 1800 Chaser, Speaker and Napier, RAN were detached for Manus, leaving Ruler with a tanker group. At 1815 the fleet, now operating only three carriers, detached from the tanker group taking departure for the operations area for one final strike period. Stryker is also noted as being present on the 23rd and issued aircraft, returning to Manus on completion, but this is not confirmed. Withdrawal to Sydney for maintenance, June 1945. On May 27, 1945 the BPF was redesignated Task Force 37 when it became part of Admiral William Halsey's United States 3rd Fleet. TF-37 arrived at Manus on May 30 and departed for Sydney the following day. After nearly a month in port making repairs and storing, the ships of TF-37, and elements of TF-112, sailed from Sydney on June 28 to return to Manus, arriving there on July 4. Operations against the Japanese mainland, July to August 1945. TF-37 sailed from Manus for the forward area on the 6th, meeting the tanker group Dingaladil, Sanamado, Wave Emperor, escorted by Usk, and Barl on the 13th to top off their fuel reserves. Meanwhile Stryker sailed with Arbiter, Nizam, Napier, and Launceston, on the 9th for the new replenishment area, codenamed British Tizzy, off the coast of Japan. TF-37 rendezvoused with U.S. Navy's fast carrier force TF-38 on July 16 for joint operations against the Japanese mainland. TF-37 was in action on the 17th with air strikes against airfields and railways on the island of Honshu. The force withdrew to rendezvous with the LSG on July 20 where the tanker group San Ambrosia, San Adolfo, Wave Monarch, Victualling Stores Issuing Ship, Glenitny, Ruler, Cap and Asp, Arbiter and Stryker, Replenishment, were waiting. The LSG was escorted by the destroyers Napier, Nizam, Sloops Pheasant, Redpole, Wimbrel, Frigate Findhorn and Minesweeper Gawler. Also present was the fleet carrier Indefatigable which had been delayed leaving Sydney. Arbiter detached for Manus on the 21st to embark more aircraft and for conversion to an auxiliary oiler. Both Arbiter and Stryker transferred aircraft to Task Force 37. TF-37 resumed strikes on July 24 and 25, returning to replenishment area British Tizzy to rendezvous with the LSG on the 26th. They began oiling at 0900 from the tanker group Ulna, Cedardale, Kalia, Easdale, and Wave Governor. Wilk other ships took on stores from there, Victualling Stores Issuing Ship, Glenitny, Armament Store Issuing Ship, Robert Muscand, Naval Stores Issuing Ship, Corinda, Ruler, Cap and Asp, Chaser, and Speaker and Stryker, Replenishment, escorted by light cruiser Argonaut, destroyers Norman and Nepal, Sloops Crane, Pheasant, Woodcock and Redpole, frigates Odzini and Dirk and Minesweeper Piri. The following day Stryker transferred her remaining three replacement aircraft to Speaker and detached for Guam en route to Manus. Stryker escorted by Nepal called at the U.S. Naval Operating Base Guam on July 30 to fly off press materials. They arrived at Manus on August 2 to load more replenishment aircraft from Royal Naval Air Station Ponam, Mobile Naval Air Base No. 4, HMS Nauberon. Loading completed Stryker and Nepal sailed from Manus on the 4th to return to British Tizzy. On the 6th she was ordered to return to Manus, arriving at Seattle Harbor on the 8th. This change of orders came about as a result of a rethinking of the BPF's participation in the next phase of operations, It had become clear that the fleet train could not supply sufficient tankers to meet the fuel needs of TF-37. Some ships had to be refueled by US tankers, and even some of the replenishment carriers were pressed into service as auxiliary oilers. Consequently, only a token force was to remain operating off Japan with the US Third Fleet, King George V and Indefatigable with their escorts. The remainder were to withdraw on the 12th and return to Manus to await further orders. Negotiations for a Japanese surrender were also taking place at this time, but combat operations were to continue until the morning of August 15. Stryker was at anchor in Seattle Harbor when the surrender was announced, but the time for celebration was short. She sailed in company with Arbiter, escorted by Ulysses, on August 16 to return to Sydney. Round trip to Hong Kong and Singapore, September to October 1945. On her arrival in Sydney, Stryker, and her sister carriers, was next employed on humanitarian relief work. Repatriating refugees and POWs became the priority effort after the Japanese surrender. All aircraft and related equipment was offloaded, and large quantities of food and medical supplies were embarked for delivery to Hong Kong, along with folding beds and spare clothing for the men, women and children they were to embark as passengers for the return leg. Three marriages took place amidst all these preparations. Two were in North Sydney. There are no details for the third. On August 27, members of the ship's company attended the wedding of the ship's padre, the Reverend Alfred Dickey Bird RNVR, to Miss Ellie Lucas, daughter of the rector of St. John's Church, Darlinghurst, East Sydney. The ceremony was performed at St. John's, Darlinghurst. The guest of honor was Commodore Carney. The following day, Lieutenant S.F. B. Drake, RNVR, secretary to Commodore Carney, was married to Corporal Marjorie Morris, WAAAF, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. A. N. Morris, of North Sydney, at St. Mary's Church, North Sydney. On completion of loading and embarking passengers, which included military personnel and Australian nurses, Stryker sailed from Sydney on September 5 and arrived at Hong Kong on the 18th. Stryker was berthed at Holt's Wharf, and work began immediately to offload the relief supplies and to make ready for the embarkation of recently liberated internees and prisoners of war for repatriation to Australia. Whilst in Hong Kong, many members of her original ship's company were relieved of their duties and returned to the UK on board the troop ship RMS Stirling Castle. From Hong Kong, Stryker sailed for Singapore, where she embarked more recovered Australian POWs and a number of medically unfit but walking POWs transferred from the hospital ship Jerusalem on September 27. Stryker, escorted by Quadrant, recrossed the equator on the 2nd of October 1945 and called at Manus the following day. She arrived back in Sydney on October 9, 1945 and berthed at Beaumont Wharf to disembark her passengers to the Red Cross Clearing Centre. On completion of unloading, Stryker began a period of defect rectification, shipyard unknown. Return to the United Kingdom. At this time, Stryker was released from British Pacific Fleet operations and was allocated for return to the UK. On leaving Dockyard Hands, Stryker began loading stores, equipment and passengers for passage home via Brisbane, Singapore, Colombo, Aden, Port Said, Malta, and Gibraltar. She sailed from Sydney on October 26 for Brisbane, where she was berthed at Brett's Wharf, at Hamilton, Brisbane, to load stores and aircraft, including a number of sea otters, for ferrying to the UK. She sailed for Singapore on the morning of November 5. At Singapore, she disembarked some of her passengers and embarked others for onward passage. She sailed from Singapore on November 24 bound for Colombo. She arrived on the Clyde on December 16, 1945. Disposal, return to U.S. custody January 1946. Upon her arrival on the Clyde, Stryker was removed from active service. Under the terms of the agreement through which she was loaned to the Royal Navy, she was to be paid for or returned. Stryker was not to be retained. Once her passengers and cargo were disembarked, many of her crew went home for Christmas leave. many leaving the ship for the last time, as only a steaming party would be required to make her final Atlantic crossing. Next, work started to destore the ship and to remove Admiralty equipment in preparation for returning her to the U.S. Navy. HMS Stryker departed from the Clyde on her final voyage on January 29, 1946. On arrival at U.S. Naval Base Norfolk, she was decommissioned and CVE-19 was returned to U.S. Navy custody on February 12, 1946. She was struck from the U.S. Navy list on March 28, 1946, and laid up in reserve. She was sold June 5, 1946 to the Patapsco Steel Scrap Company of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and was broken up for scrap in 1949. Notes 1, it is unclear when A24 Naval Air Squadron disembarked from, and re-embarked in, Stryker during her time with the Home Fleet. Some commentators give dates that put them ashore at times when Stryker was at sea on operations, and incident reports of flying accidents indicate aircraft were on board. Therefore, this account assumes they remained embarked from April 21, 1944 until May 9, 1944. Article produced by Tony Drury. Copyright 2016. www.royalnavyresearcharchive.org.uk